realize.
All righty. Oh, welcome. I got a little pause there. Welcome to the... Oh, okay. Here we go.
If you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time, all of the time.
All righty. Good morning to everyone. Grand Rising, whatever term that you decide that you want to use. Good morning. And welcome to the September the 6th, 2022 edition of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and we are very pleased to have you aboard for this two-hour program. Today, being the 6th of September, Mr. Fuller will be on to talk about many subjects or in answer to the questions that you may have. But keep in mind that we are and have been living in a world of injustice. And you are, if you are expecting justice to be, it's not going to happen. No matter the questions that you have or situation that you're going to present to Mr. Fuller today, and that you live with every day, or that we live with every day, in a world that is dominated by injustice, that's what we have to face. Justice cannot exist, and that's why you don't have it. So any question you have today for Mr. Fuller, keep that in mind when you ask him that. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Just remember, where you at, where you be. Now, in order to ask those questions that you may have or thoughts, this is what you can do. You can call this number, and that number is 516-453-9921. And if you have a question or a comment, which Mr. Fuller entitles VGQ, then just push the number one button, and you will get in line, and then you can ask your a question or give your comment, and we would hope that it would be a brief one. Please, ma'am, please, sir, to do that. You can also, and for a first-time caller, if you are a first-time caller, please let the call screener know that you're a first-time caller, and we have something specifically set up for you so that your call can go through and you can be heard. You will be heard to ask your question, so you don't have to be scared when you do that. Just ask your question. If you even have to write it out so that you can ask your question. This is friendly here because all problems are solved through what? Questions and answers, and you will hear that. Okay, and also there's a feature here which I like that Robert and Moon Pie and Sharon and whoever else is in the background do. They let me know when the last caller is in. I would be the last call, and then I will do that so that we try to stay in compliance with the time slot that we have here. Okay. Let's do this. On September the 8th, that's 2 days from now, which is Thursday, Mr. Fuller will be on the Carl Nelson Show. And that's going to be at 8 a.m. And we have, at the Produce Justice website, you can listen to the entire program if you get onto us and go to producejustice.com. You can hear the whole show, so make sure that you do that. That is this coming Thursday at 8 a.m. Okay. All right. Now, you can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, with your questions. It will not necessarily be read today, but you can certainly do that, and I will let you know that I have it. And you can also join the chat. The chat room, all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com, and then you want to click on where it says programs, and then you want to get the Produce Justice Show. And when you do that, there's a box icon that will come up that says chat, and you can join the chat room and get in there and see what's going on. What is going on? And chat room people follow the chat room because they stay codified. And usually, and today included, constructive action items, make sure that you get the rundown of last week's show and what has happened. Okay, all that out of the way, let's do this. Let me introduce to some and present to others Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Good morning, Mr. Fuller, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
You are still learning. Mr. Fuller, the program that we have opened up with is the thoughts and expressions of the mind, on the mind of Neely Fuller, Jr. What do you have for us this morning?
Well, what are we here for? Always. When I say here, I mean in the universe. What are people here for? What is it we're supposed to be doing? And I came to the conclusion, trying to follow the logic, we're here to solve problems. What problems? Why would I come to the conclusion we're here to solve problems? Because we have problems. Now, why we have the problems, I don't know. But the assumption has to be that we do have problems. We are put here in this space called planet Earth. And along with that, the planet and the creatures on it have problems. And so all of the creatures, including people and what we call animals, try to go about solving the problems that they have. And like I just said, why were people and creatures given problems to solve? And the answer is, I don't know. Maybe somebody in the listening audience of this program knows why that is. But I came to the conclusion some years ago that that's our assignment. And that's our assignment simply because the problems are there. We're here, and the problems are here. And so it's logical if you've got problems, a number of problems, you try to pick out the main problem that you think will probably have something to do with causing most, if not all, of the other problems among people, if you are a person. And then you go from there trying to solve that problem and work back, trying to solve the biggest problem among people. Some years ago, Neely Fuller concluded that after thinking along that particular line of thought, that the biggest problem on the planet among people is something called the race problem. And in capital letters, I said that would be my assignment, to solve the race problem. It took me a long time to come to that conclusion because I am like most people, I guess, kept asking the question, well, what am I doing here? Why was I born? Why was I born when I was born in the place that I was born in? So I came to the conclusion that I was born to solve problems, and then in capital letters, I start codifying what I would say and do about those problems, and one of them is that I put in capital letters, the assignment. What assignment, Fuller? Well, the assignment of solving the biggest problem on the planet. in all areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. And what is the greatest influence among all those areas of activity? Something called, and I put that in capital letters when I start writing about it and thinking about it and making notes about it, the system of white supremacy. So I came to the conclusion that you can't solve any other major problem, any of the major problems, rather, without, if you're a person of color, being involved in the race problem all the way. You're reacting to it in economics, education, entertainment, etc. All areas of activity. So then I looked around and started noticing that most of the people, regardless of what they intended to do, if they were a person with color in their skin, they were reacting to what people call the race problem, whether they are aware of it keenly or not. They're aware of it indirectly or directly. Well, most people become aware of it. Some people are not. Some people say there's no such thing as a race problem. And if it is, it's so negligible that if you don't pay any attention to it, you can go about your business and do whatever you're going to do. There are a lot of people who say that, and it's not my position to disagree with them, but only to observe to see if what they're saying is true. That there really isn't any race problem. And if it is a race problem, it's not anything that you just have to pay attention to if you're a person of color. You can ignore it. You go on about your business, and it'll just go away. It'll ignore you if you ignore it. I came to the conclusion there's no way to ignore it, because how you're going to have a system of racism, a system of white supremacy, without people paying strict attention to practicing racism and seeing to it that they have victims of it. So I just say that that's my assignment,
mm-hmm.
and that the people of color, people who have color in their skin, on the planet, I say that the logic says that's also their assignment, whether they choose to ignore it or not, is to solve that problem, because that's the most important problem on the planet among people.
Hmm.
That's what's on my mind.
Okay.
Which is on my mind all the time anyway.
Yes, sir.
That's my assignment.
Okay. All righty. September 6, 2022, Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Don't forget that Mr. Fuller will be on the Carl Nelson Show this Thursday, September the 8th. That's right, September the 8th at 8 a.m. At 8 a.m., Mr. Fuller will be on the Carl Nelson Show. And you can get it here by going to producejustice.com. They have created a space for the Carl Nelson Show to be heard right here, so you don't have all those problems in trying to look it up. Just come right here and get it. Also, any books that Mr. Fuller will mention in terms, a lot of the terms, or most of the terms, if not all the terms that he will mention, will also be found in his publication, the book, the code book, we affectionately call that. It's also called the United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, which you can also get by going to producejustice.com. And speaking of being constructive, let's kick it off on the phone lines with constructive action items. is going to be live right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, you have repeatedly stated that we should limit our interactions to constructive contacts only. I have been observing a large number of non-white people engaged in racial shadow boxing instead of focusing on the biggest problem we face worldwide. Can you please explain how non-white people mistreating each other helps support the system of racism, white supremacy? And I would like to stay on the line, please.
Well, non-white people of the planet, in according to logic and observation, the observations I've had say that people who are prisoners of war, and the non-white people are the prisoners of war, are those white people who practice racism. That's the conclusion I came to based on observation. I could be in error. So prisoners of war are prisoners of any type, people who are in prison. Many black people have been in what you call greater confinement, what the code calls greater confinement. You're born already confined when you're born. You're confined by your skin color. That's your prison uniform. So you're in prison when you're born in the system of white supremacy. But then there's something called greater confinement, and that's when they put you in a smaller prison, what we call prisons now, penitentiaries, holding cells, et cetera, et cetera. So in answer to the question, prisoners of any kind have a tendency, because they're in a weak position, weak people, all weak creatures, animals, do the same thing, have a tendency to fight each other when they perceive themselves as being overwhelmed by somebody or something that has greater power than what they have. So prisoners have a tendency to fight other prisoners. You hear about them every now and then, something called prison riots. Well, they'll start out maybe, directing their anger toward the prison guards, but then they know that that's not going to get them anywhere. So then they start burning mattresses and turning over things and thrashing about. Then they turn on each other. And so the non-white people of the planet are going to continue to do that, using that analogy of how prisoners act. All prisoners, all people who are subordinate to a power that's greater than they are, and they perceive that that power is greater than they are, and they have a tendency to turn on each other, and in the case of people of color here on planet Earth in 2022, we perceive the system of white supremacy as being just something that's, and sometimes many of us say so, is just overwhelming. And it's just too big. It's too big to fail. It's just too big to do anything with. It's just too big. I mean, the problem is just immense. I mean, it's got so many different things you have to deal with. It just wears you out and wears you down. So what do? You're a slave on the slave ship, and you don't know what to do. You're frustrated. You don't have enough food. You don't have enough water. You're in the worst possible position that you ever thought you would ever be in. And you're a passenger on that slave ship, and you are a slave, and you're chained to the other slaves, and all of you are miserable. So what you start doing is hitting each other with the chains. And they have even run tests with animals to find out if animals would act that way. And they've tried it on rats, I understand. And they say rats who might have started out in great harmony with each other, once they get into those dire conditions, and one gets food and the other one doesn't, one gets water and the other one doesn't, then they turn on each other, one to protect the little bit that they do get, and the other one, because they don't have anything at all, and they say, well, I'm going to take some of yours. Or it might be just an envious thing. All of us got something, but I didn't get enough. So we all got the same amount, but I didn't get enough. You might be satisfied with what you got, but I didn't get enough. So then I turn on you and say, give me a part of what you got. Or if nobody gets nothing, they just fight because nobody got nothing, because they don't know what else to do. So the black females, to cut right to the chase, who are experiencing now, looking forward to the offspring that they have being gunned down by somebody who looks like them, they're looking forward to that if they are realistic. Most of them are in the now and say, well, at least I hope that it doesn't happen to my offspring, but I'm looking for a way to move out of my apartment and get out of my neighborhood. I want to get out of Brooklyn. I want to get out of Compton. I want to get out. I want to get out. I want to get as far away from my loving people as I possibly can, because I got 5 children. I've already lost 2. And it looks like the other 3 are headed for the same thing. And I don't want to bury no more of my children. But you're going to bury them, lady. You can look forward to that. That's a guarantee. For most of the black people here in 2022, you're going to lose somebody. Might be a distant cousin. May not be the direct offspring. But in answer to the question, that's going to go with the territory. And it's not going to stop until the system of white supremacy is put to an end, which is all the more reason why that ending white supremacy and replacing with justice should be the only sensible goal of every person of color on this planet here in the year 2022.
Okay.
Based on what? Logic.
Mm-hmm. Based on logic.
You're not going to solve any of these other problems. You can twist your hands. You can you can go around and recite poetry. You can just do whatever. But it's going to continue. Why? Because the white supremacists have ordained that it's going to continue on their
mm-hmm.
watch.
Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you. Constructive action items. Thank you. And thank you for being online. Okay, let's go to Corey in Milwaukee. Corey, let me see if I can get you in here. Constructive action items, you are on hold. Okay, Corey, Milwaukee, do your thing. There you go.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Ford. Good
morning, sir.
I'm referring to the 2016 edition under the area of economics, the use of time and energy. Mr. Fuller, when a victim of racism due to medical conditions, it becomes very difficult for the person to give constructive help or perform constructive labor, physical labor. What are some of the suggestions that you have that a person can do to stay constructive and to make the best voluntary and constructive use of his or her time to continue to counteract racism.
Just do the best you can. We're in a war. And in a war, people do the best they can with what they have. Thurgood Marshall, Judge Thurgood Marshall, was asked, how did he want to be remembered? He said, I did the best I could with what I had. You can't use what you don't have. So you do the best you can with what you have to conduct counter war against the people who are making war. And that's the white supremacists of the planet. They are war makers. They love it. They love killing. They kill people. White people who believe in white supremacy kill other white people. Sometimes for fun. Fun. Glory. Material comfort. These are the things that everybody wants. These are the things that all creatures want. But the white supremacists kill people for fun, and they teach black people to kill each other for fun. For fun. F-U-N. That's all that they're getting out of it. Fun. At least for a short period of time before they wind up dead. Kill for fun. Joyriding. Carjacking. Fun. That comes under fun. That's not necessity. You don't have to do that. But it's something to do. I'm going to give me a piece. Anybody look at me cross-eyed, I'm going to shoot them. Well, anybody going to pay you $1 million for shooting somebody? No, but that's what we do around here. I mean, that's what we do. Well, why do you do it? No, that's what we do. All over the world. Makes no sense at all. But like I said, you do what you can to counteract it as best you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do. Until when? Until we finally figure out we need a code of thought, speech, and action and stop making it a sideline to other things we're doing. Make it our priority. Nothing else comes before it. To replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. Anytime you put anything before that, expect to keep getting what you always got.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of misery.
For sure. A lot of misery. All right. Thank you, Corey. Don't be a stranger. You're listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. If you would like to get in contact with the show, just simply call 516-453-9921. And if you have a call or question or comment, just press the number 1 button, and then you will get in rotation and have Mr. Fuller address your concern. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. You could do that. And you could also go get into the chat room. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. You want to make sure you go under programs and then hit the Produce Justice program or the Produce Justice show. Hit that. And then when you hit that, the icon for the chat room will become available to you and you can get on the chat room. Be sure that you follow all the chat rules. FYI, Mr. Fuller, this Thursday, mark it down, this Thursday, September the 8th, at 8 a.m., Mr. Fuller will be on the Carl Nelson Show. So make your plans to hear Mr. Fuller on the Carl Nelson Show this Thursday, September the 8th at 8 a.m. And you can get that show right here at the producejustice.com website. They set it up, so all you have to do is click on it, and, man, you are there, and it is simply wonderful. Thank you, Robert. Moon pie from you, bro. Miss Sharon, thank you. Or whoever did that and all the others that I don't know, that all that are involved in this show that make Mr. Fuller and myself sound the way that we sound. That's them. So anyway, thank you. I like what the constructive action items talked about, Mr. Fuller. They're still talking about constructive contacts. And the subject that you broached last week, love is still ringing off of my Gmail account. It is really going strong. But we are going to go to Terrence. Terrence, get ready. I'm getting ready to come to you. And Ray, looks like you're on the board too now. Let me see here. Terrence, let's see. There we go. Terrence, you're on with Mr. Fuller.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. Good
morning,
hope
sir.
You have a good day. Okay, so I'm going to try to be real succinct on this. But I was thinking about science and universal codes, and one of the things I was reading about this morning was about fire and how fire needs basically three elements to exist: oxygen, heat, and fuel. And if you remove any one or more of those elements, then fire can't exist, and that's code. And so I was thinking about what Mr. Fuller was saying about all humans need fun, glory, and material comfort. That's what they do. And I think the oppressors, what they've done is they've taken those elements that we need to exist and perverted them. And with fun, they made violence fun, killing fun. With glory, they promote bad behavior. They promote the worst of us. They lift us up and show us on TV all the time. And as far as material comfort, they pay us very well to destroy each other and defame each other, smack each other on TV, and do all those types of things. So what I was thinking is, how can we, Mr. Fuller, more effectively turn those elements we need to our advantage and eliminate the elements that need to exist for white supremacy to flourish? And
that's what I wrote the book for. Yeah, we need a code. I keep saying it. A code of what? Thought, speech, and action. What to say and what to do and what to think. How to think about the world that we're in. Shift our values from what, a lot of things we think are really important. Just go chasing after this and chasing after that. And just concentrate on, I am put here for one purpose, to solve the biggest problem on the planet. And the people who have grabbed hold of that, sometimes it takes years, like it took me years to get around to it. I was trying to run from it, thinking that if I ignore it, it'll go away. It won't bother me if I don't bother it. All that type of thing. And I said that it governs every move that I make, even when I don't think it does. It what? The system of white supremacy. That's what the most powerful idea and the most powerful government that the world has ever seen in modern history, in recorded history. So how does this function, this system of white supremacy? It's what you call the white code. And the white code doesn't have anything in it that's going to make it weak. The white code says we don't do nothing that adds to our weakness. Everything we do is going to give us strength. Scientifically, we'll run tests on it to make sure we don't have nothing in the white code that makes us weaker. and we're going to teach our subjects, black people, to keep doing stuff and glorifying stuff that makes them weaker and weaker and weaker, both in mind and or in body, one or the other or both. That they
okay.
are just a weak people, and they not only are weak, we're going to see through it if every black person has such a weak mind that they all think about valuing things that make no sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we will have them forever as our entertainment, and we persecute them for our entertainment, because that's what racism is about. Fun, glory, material comfort. We get those three things. And we don't intend to give them up for something else called justice that nobody takes seriously and everybody talks about, but nobody's really working hard trying to produce it, which means guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. That's a right-in-your-face definition, a compensatory definition. Neither Pull made it up. I didn't like the other definitions because they didn't make sense in all the dictionaries I had looked at. So the white supremacists latched on to that idea, and it turned out to be the most powerful and most efficient idea for governing people ever produced in recorded history, according to the evidence. Now, there's some other system that's greater that people invented. I'll listen if somebody tells me what it is, but I don't see anything greater than the system of white supremacy. And it's an evil system.
Yes.
It needs to be replaced with the system of justice.
Absolutely.
You got to codify it too, meaning you just can't keep doing what you're already doing. It's not working. Nothing that we are doing is working, all right? Let's get that nailed down, which means we need a whole new way of doing things, starting with the codification of you don't make contact with anybody, white or non-white, unless you have a constructive reason for doing so, and that's any kind of contact.
Okay.
That's painful, but we need to get used to it if we're going to solve this problem.
Yes, sir. And constructive action items started off by saying that. In fact, and not just for you, Torrance, but in fact, if you notice, Mr. Fall always talks about, you know, you ask that question, what do? Produce justice. That's why he wrote the book. The book tells us what to do and what not to do.
What to say and what not to say.
Yes.
And under what circumstances. Some suggestions. It doesn't nail down everything, because a book that's covered everything would go 50 million times around the world. But it's a book that gives you samples of suggestions. And if you try them, you will find that things work better. Because nothing in these textbooks, the counter-racist textbook, the code book, is supposed to work against you. If you do it, it's supposed to work for you. Otherwise, it's got no business in the book.
Yes. And I came to the conclusion after studying and still studying that you, or as we live, or I, am the book, producing justice. And speaking about the book, Mr. Fuller, I'm going to take this time for you to talk about the book, which we've been talking about all morning, Produce Justice. So book time for you, Mr. Fuller.
Yes, you can get the book by going to producejustice.com. Now, the basic advanced versions up from 1984, the original version is there because some people said they prefer it. But the other versions, 2016 expanded, revised, expanded edition, and the addition and added volume to the basic edition 2016 version is a word guide. So you have two volumes there. People might get confused. But one is just an extension of the other. The word guide is an extension of the revised expanded edition. If you go to producejustice.com, you will see it on the cover of the volumes. Revised, expanded, that's the basic book. That book has all kind of suggestions in it, and it gives an overview of what racism is all about and gives some ideas about what to do about it under various circumstances, what to do, what to say, what to not do, what to not say, how to say it. Examples being like the use of the word America, which I've spent many, many decades trying to get people to stop associating the word America with the word racism. There's no association whatsoever between the two words. All it's going to do is get in your way and cause you problems if you keep doing it. Because the white supremacists have programmed people without them being aware that they're being programmed to keep mixing up the system of white supremacy with the word America. The word America is in no way associated with the system of white supremacy. But you'll turn on the television right today and you'll find people who have written many books over and over again, and they keep doing it. You say, well, you know America. I mean, you know how Americans are. I mean, when it comes to black people, who are you talking about? These strange people call Americans that the code book, the one that I have written, said they don't exist, never have existed. These people call Americans. America is what? An idea. And nobody has come up to the standard of that idea. Or for that matter, to the standard of Africa. Nobody has met the standards of this word called Africa according to what? The code. And the code is supposed to be based on logic, and the logic is all about truth. Asia, the same thing. America, I call it the three A's. America, Africa, Asia. The three A's. They don't exist. None of them. Africa doesn't exist. Asia doesn't exist. America doesn't exist. Well, why would you say that, fool? What are you talking about? Are you crazy? No, I'm telling the truth. Because what do these words mean? They mean the same as people who practice justice. And since justice cannot exist in a system of white supremacy, then, logically speaking, truthfully speaking, America, Africa, or Asia does not exist, and no such people exist that you can truthfully call Americans, Africans, or Asians. So if you don't have Americans, Africans, and Asians, what do you have? You've got white people, non-white people, and white supremacists. And that's all you got. And that's either true or false. But go to the, if you want an explanation in detail about what everything that I've said, go to the textbook for victims of white supremacy. And when you start talking this way, you won't be defeated in any kind of debate.
There you go.
And it's so called. You will not be defeated because you'll be telling the truth.
You'll be telling the truth. All righty. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Not only talking this way, how about this? Triple H's in the house. How about living this way? You are the book. All right. Let's go down to the big D, DFW. That's right. Get ready. You know who that is. That's Ray. Okay, Ray, wait a minute. I just happen to love that airport, by the way. Ray, you are on with Mr. Fuller. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. Could you leave me on the line, please?
Yes, I will.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Fuller, I have two questions this morning, and I'm working out of the 1984 edition. On page 334, you have the seeds of the destruction of racism, white supremacy are implanted in the very existence of racism itself. Now, if the system of white supremacy operates through deception and or direct violence, would the seeds that are in the very existence of racism be the languages that are used?
Well, what I mean by the expression, I'll try to explain it in simple terms. If you have a poison, there's an antidote to the poison. And the antidote to any poison has a correlation to the poison itself. Otherwise, it wouldn't be effective. That's why we get vaccinations, I think. I think it kind of works that way. When you get a vaccination for COVID-19, you're actually getting the disease put into you. You're building up immunity. See, that's why I said the seeds of the destruction of racism is built into the system itself. So racism produces a thing called counter-racism. So since racism is scientific, that's why it's successful, counter-racism must be scientific. But we are not trying to build a counter-racist code, which is what I'm trying to do with the textbook for victims. The only thing that'll counter the white supremacist code is an anti-white supremacist code. If you don't have it, it'll just continue doing what it does. Like COVID-19, it'll just keep rolling merrily along unless you come up with counteraction using some of the elements of the disease itself. Racism is a disease of the body politic. It's a religious disease, the strongest religion that the world has ever seen. Racism, white supremacy. No religion is stronger than white supremacy. None. All of the religions put together have proven to be no match for the religion called the religion of white supremacy. What is a religion, according to logic? A strong belief backed up by action. Just about everybody cuts corners on their religion. They'll say, well, I kind of fall by the wayside every now and then. The white supremacists don't fall by the wayside ever. That's why they have the strongest religion called the system of white supremacy. They don't lose. Black people lose all the time. The white supremacists don't lose no time. Why? Because they're scientific, that's why. Science came with the universe. They even have what you call Christian scientists. All right? And it's the reason why they call themselves that. They say because lots of people, you know, they think that they're stomping their feet and clapping their hands and everything will be all right. See, but we think about, hey, we got to get out here and plant some corn. We got to get out here and do this and do that. You have some factions of the Christian religion, I mean, like the Amish people. They're not like Baptists, black Baptists, and they make a big distinction. They say, no, we're not riding around in limousines and whatnot like black people do. I mean, if they're black preachers, they want the biggest car, many of them, not all. See, but we get horses and buggies. And if you come around our farms, you're going to see a farm. We produce food. We have, I mean, we got the basics. And we don't latch on to just any old thing that people come down with, the latest fads. We don't care nothing about diamond rings and all that. Okay. Now, I'm not passing judgment on any of them because the code does not allow me to do that. The only religion that the code allows me, the part of the code that I have written, to criticize even, either directly or indirectly, is the religion of white supremacy. I am absolutely prohibited from criticizing Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Confucianism, Hinduism. I cannot say one word against any of these religions.
Mm-hmm.
But I
okay.
can say everything against the religion of white supremacy, and I do. That's my duty. You can get the book by going to producejustice.com.
Okay, producejustice.com. Okay. I don't know why constructive action items keeps getting kicked out of the chat. Got to investigate that. I don't know what we would do about that, but anyway, something's going on there. Mr. Fuller, Gmail, coming up here. Let's see here. This is from Daryl. He says this. Mr. Fuller, this is about the fifth time in the past year or so I've heard you, Mr. Fuller, ask, what is love? What does love mean, et cetera? Well, when y'all ask that, I think of a few songs from the past, starting with Boogie Down Productions' classic 1990 tune entitled, quote, Love's Gonna Get Ya, end of quote. And then he gave a link, and he said he encourages you and myself to listen to the lyrics to this song, and I did myself. So I don't know if you could play that on the air or not. Okay, well, we're not going to do that one. But anyway, it says, also, Mr. Fuller, I know you say you can't listen along to the lyrics of most rap songs, but I think you can follow these lyrics well. The other is Mystic Soul's Child's 2001 hit, Love. End of quote, where he starts off singing about how people take its name in vain, take the term love itself in vain, without knowing what it means or it's really about. I thought I'd pass that on to you all when asking about this word we used to call love, because other artists over the years have asked the same question. Mr. Fuller, since you had brought that up, that you didn't know what it was and et cetera, and we talked about it for the last couple of weeks, and I've received quite a few Gmails about that. Have you had any more thoughts on love?
Yes, sir. I have the word love in the basic textbook, 2016 edition. I'm looking at my notes here now. It says page 187 and 188.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it says myself. I haven't looked at it lately. But it's in there. Lots of things in there that I talk about in the book. So I'll turn to page 187 and 188.
Which book are you in, Mr. Fuller?
That's the textbook for victims of white supremacy.
Okay.
That's the 2016 edition.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 187, 188. Let me see.
Yeah, 187, 188. Okay.
Well, let's see what I got here.
Okay,
when someone says that he or she loves someone, ask him or her one or more of the following questions. Number one, why do you love that someone? Number two, when do you express that love?
This is where we represent.
Number three, how do you express that love in all areas of activity? Number four, what do you intend for that love to produce? And then I have a note down here. According to compensatory logic, love without justice does not and cannot exist. I'm going to repeat that. According to compensatory logic, love without justice cannot, or rather does not, and cannot exist. Love is justice, and justice is love. Both are one and the same. So if justice is love and love is justice, what is justice? Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. So in the system of white supremacy, love doesn't exist because justice doesn't exist. You can't have justice and white supremacy in the same universe at the same time.
Exactly.
It doesn't compute. That's impossible. So we throw that word around, love, very loosely. And that's why I asked the question, what is love in the average person's mind? When do you know you really got it? I loves you. Your Honor, I killed her because I loved her. Well, what do you do with people that you hate? See, we just throw that word around this any kind of old way. Stop talking about it. Produce justice. Meaning what? Guarantee that nobody's mistreated that's around you. Do the best that you can to see to it that nobody's mistreated as best you can.
Mm-hmm.
And try to guarantee that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. And that's
mm-hmm.
in every contact that you make on a job, anywhere else. Is anybody being mistreated? Nobody's supposed to be mistreated.
Nobody. That's it.
Nobody. All right? And the person that needs help the most always gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that ain't mm-hmm. happening nowhere on the planet. So we just toss that word around like it's, you know, hey, it's a dime store, which is what it is.
Mm.
When we talk about it, we meaning who? The people on this planet. Because if you don't have no regard for justice, love is out of the question, because they are one and the same. If you're not practicing justice, you're not practicing love, period.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's the code position. I see a lot more there. I mean, 187. But I'm not going to go any farther than that
okay. Right
now.
All right.
Love, according to the code, love is justice. Justice is love. So does love exist? Like I said, black people talk about love all the time. White people talk about it. You got millions of songs about it. I listen to them. Because I like the tunes, I like the whole idea, but what we call love under the system of white supremacy, a lot of it is what originally was called romance. And what you call romantic love, that's a brand.
That's a brand, okay.
Yeah, because that's what? That's associated with what? The Romans.
Yeah, the Romans.
Boy, you look at the Romans, I mean, you know, that's what you call love? The ancient Roman Empire? That Colosseum? How much love are you going to get out of that Colosseum?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's one of the monuments that are still standing.
Uh-huh.
And they say, we love to go over to the Colosseum and see the games. What did they do in the Colosseum?
Yes, sir.
Kill people.
Kill.
That's what they did. And we romanticize it. Meaning, and so that's what we do. I love you to death. We got plenty of that.
Hold that thought, Mr. Fuller. We're going to close out the first hour. So thank you for those of you who are listening to the first hour and you have to go. We thank you for all that your questions and your comments and for listening. And be sure to tune in next week. And don't forget that Mr. Fuller will be on Thursday on the Carl Nelson Show, September the 8th at 8 a.m. But for those who will be on the second hour, stay tuned for the second hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And we will commence that show in exactly 6 seconds. All righty. Welcome back to the second hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. And we would love for you to get in contact with the show. And here's how you can do that. Call this number, 516-453-9921. And when you do, you can listen to the show, or if you have a question or comment, commonly referred to as Mr. Fuller's term, VGQ, and he might tell you exactly what that means if you need a reference for that. Just push the number one button, and then you will get in line, and when it's your turn, you will be called. You don't have to be scared. Just ask your question and allow Mr. Fuller to answer your question. You can do that, okay, or your comment on your VGQ. Okay, you can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And for those of you who elect to do that and might be new to the program, please, ma'am, please, sir, do not ask me a question on there because that's what the phone number is for. And speaking about that, if you are a new caller and you call that number, which is, 516-453-9921, and you do press the number one button to get in line, tell the call screener your name and that you are a new caller, and them bad boys done worked out a way that you will be heard. You heard? Yeah, you will be heard. So make sure you do that. And also, let's see here. You can join the chat room if you would like. Get in there. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. You want to click on the programs, and it is the Produce Justice Show. Click on that bad boy, and the programs will come up. And when it does, you can go right in there. Now, be codified when you go in there. We got people in there that be watching that. Oh, yeah. Make sure that you stay codified. And construction action items, almost, I see you on the board, but make sure that you are in the chat room also. You can do that. Okay. Constructive contacts, make sure you do that. Love and produce justice, that's what we're on. That person that just called in the 757 area code, make sure you get a call screener your name. In the meantime and in between time, thank you, Bill Moss. Let's go to Dre out in Oklahoma. All right. Wait a minute, Dre, if I can get you in here. Okay. Dre, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Bobby, how y'all doing this morning?
Yes, sir.
My question is, Mr. Fuller, could you talk about the racial double standards that the system of white supremacy upholds and how the system of white supremacy stand on code? to each other, it perpetuates the double standards and how black people get on code. We can neutralize their code.
Is that a question?
Yeah, that's a question. I was saying, could you elaborate on how the white supremacists, how they perpetuate double standards, and how black people get on code, how we can neutralize their code?
By looking at what they do and say, and figure out how you can counter it if it has a non-constructive result. And that's what I do with the textbook.
Yes, absolutely.
When I say code just means what to do in every circumstance. You're going to do something in every circumstance if you're in that circumstance. So code is about figuring out what is the best thing to do and say in every circumstance that you're in. Maybe all down through the years I've been trying to find a way to express what is this thing that Fuller keeps talking about, that we need a code. And I try to make it as simple as I possibly can. What is the best thing to say if you're around a million people? And you say, now, all these people are talking, 1 million of them, or 10 million, or 50 million. Now, I'm going to say the best thing that could be said out of everything that these 50 million people would ever say. I'm going to pick out. Now, that's when you're codified. When you pick out, and I'll just use that as an example, you're in the midst of 50 million people, a crowd of 50 million, and everybody in that 50 million is going to have their say about what to do or what to say about a certain situation, all right, about a problem. When you speak or when you suggest an action, your speaking or your suggestion for action, in order to be codified, is the best thing that 50 million people tried to say or did say or asked somebody else to say or do. What you came up with, when everybody looks at everybody and say, wow, that's it. That's code. In other words, you hesitate to speak until you've heard everybody else speaking. The code even suggests that. I've done it. I've gone to meetings where I just wait for everybody else to say what they got to say, because they may come up with something that's better than what I was going to say. And I've done that. And in that case, that particular case, I didn't say anything. When they got to me, handed me the mic, I said, hey, I ain't going to top that. So ain't no point in me saying nothing. All right? So you're not trying to win arguments or win debates. This is not what counter-racist science is all about. You're trying to solve problems. And you always pick the best thing to say that will ever be said in 50 trillion years. Now, that takes some thinking. And you always try to do the best thing that can be done in any circumstance involving trillions of people, if it is such a thing.
Yes.
When you stand up and talk, you are supposed to say the best thing that out of 50 trillion people will ever be said about solving a problem. Now, that requires a whole lot of what? Thinking.
Come on with it.
All right? But I'm trying to explain how codes are made.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, see, this is the way that the white supremacists think. They get ready to go to the moon. They ain't doing no guesswork. And when they do guesswork, it doesn't pay off. Because a number of people have died, you know, on their way, they thought, to a place where they were going to rendezvous with another spaceship or something like that. And somebody miscalculated. When the white supremacists don't hang on to things like black people do, it's our tradition. This is what our ancestors used to do. Your ancestors wound up in chains, folks. Every last one of them. Chains that the white supremacists made for them. Everywhere the white supremacists went, the white supremacists brought with them a white code. They went on violate the white code. Why? It would be stupid to do so. A code that doesn't work shouldn't be your code. But black people will keep doing stuff that has been proven not to work. And we're still doing it in 2022.
Mm.
And we'll just blindly say, well, this is what we do in the hood. Well, have you ever examined it to see if it makes sense? Well,
yeah.
No, I ain't thought about it that far. Well, think about it that far. Well, that ain't in our traditions. Lots of things weren't in people's traditions.
Mm.
The white supremacists understand that.
Yes, sir.
They'll say, hey, we had a tradition of doing this and doing that. We don't do that no more. Why? Because it doesn't work. See, the white supremacists got that kind of sense. That's some kind of sense that most black people don't have.
Yes, sir.
See, the white supremacists will drop something like a hot potato, like a hot iron, if it doesn't work. Black people will keep grabbing that thing that doesn't work and close their eyes and grit their teeth and hope that it works next time. Over and over again.
Huh.
We'll keep doing, and we'll say it's our tradition.
Wow.
I mean, that's what we do in the hood. Well, that's why you're in the hood.
That's why you're
in the hood. And that's why the hood is such a mess.
I can hear Fred Sanford talking to Levant now and calling him his famous word, you big dummy. Before I take the new caller alert, Mr. Fuller, this question came up here about love. Could love be used as a red herring?
Well, what's a red herring?
Meaning a tool of distraction.
You can use the word love. You can use the word, any word.
Okay.
That's what's being done. You can
okay.
just pick any word and just throw it out there.
Yeah.
And everybody's supposed to jump without anybody asking a question. Wait a minute. What is this? What's this thing you call love? How do you know it when you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you supposed to see it? Well, you know, love, man, there's love. You know, there's love. I talked about this on other programs, and I want people to talk about it.
Yeah.
Not just
yeah.
take what Neely Fuller says. Say, what exactly is love? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we just going to keep using the word, and the word ain't attached to nothing? Ain't attached to nothing. But it's just hanging out there. Well, that's something we say.
Yeah, that reminds
you know,
me of
and,
that.
And then we'll look up at the sky and close our eyes and say, look. And sometimes we make our voice tremble artificially.
Yeah.
Look. We got to help. Look.
Yeah, it reminds me
of that. Now, as a result of you saying that, what happens? Does anything happen as a result of you saying that? Is anything supposed to happen? Well, you heard me say it. Okay, well, you said it. Now you got everybody else saying it. And you say, well, we need love. And then we all stop saying we need it. And then we say, we got love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you needed it. Now you're saying you got it. So what does that mean? Well, you know what it means.
Yeah.
That's how black people talk all the time about everything, not just about love. Well, you know what it means.
Yeah. I'm laughing.
If you don't know, you ought to ask somebody. Well, I'm asking you. Well, you know, if you got to ask me, it means you don't know.
It means you
don't
know.
That's the way we talk.
It reminds me when we were on TalkTainmentRadio.com and that song came up. I had never heard it before, but it was about love. And I think the reference was, I never heard this song before, but you said the song went like this. I told you that I love you, now get out.
Yeah. And that's a song.
Yeah.
That came out in the 1930s and early 40s, I think. I told you that I love you, now get out. You punch her up on a computer, you know.
Yeah, I might.
In fact, I heard it on TV for the first time about a year ago.
Okay.
The first time I heard that song in years. It was a country and western singer singing.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
I told you that I love you, now get out.
Now get out.
Now, now that at least has meaning. But when black people say it, you don't know what it means. You don't know what that word means. Or when white people use it.
Yeah.
Woo. And then little by little, they'll slide from love to romance.
Yeah.
And then we'll even say we're making love,
ooh,
meaning having sexual intercourse.
Okay.
Is that love?
Mm.
Well, I mean, you know, is that all there is? And that's the name of a song. Patty Page, I think. Peggy Lee or somebody.
Somebody.
Is that all there is?
All righty. Let's go to New Caller Alert. New Caller Alert. Hey, still learning too. That's T-O-O. Get ready. Northern Virginia. Let me see if I can get you in here. Yeah. You in the house. Go ahead with your question for Mr. Fuller.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. And
good
to everybody
morning,
in the chat
sir.
Room
Thank
and everybody listening
it.
Around the world. I'm good?
Yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Mr. Fuller, in my travels, I have seen many so-called families and organizations surrounding one person as their centralized energy source that kind of keeps everything moving and everything tight. And being honest with myself, one day you are going to pass away. My question to you, Mr. Fuller, is after you pass away and your energy source is gone, what do you expect us to do to maintain the code being prolific?
The code.
Hope that was clear.
The code is nothing but thinking, speaking, and acting in the best possible manner. That came with the universe. That didn't come with Neely Fuller. That's an idea that black people in modern history have never applied. It's available to everybody. It's not Neely Fuller's code. No more than going to the moon is Neely Fuller's code. Neely Fuller don't have no code for going to the moon except the code for going to the moon. I mean, anybody who figures out the code for going to the moon will go to the moon. Black people have been trained by the white supremacists to follow people. And then they say, we are the people to follow, meaning the white supremacists. That's why black people are in that net that we're in. Whereas you follow the logic of the universe, don't ever put your confidence in people. Put your confidence in a code that always works. People have flaws.
Whew.
People make mistakes. All people.
Yes.
It ain't a person on this planet who's worth following anywhere. Well, don't get that out of your head. That's my leader. Your leader is logic that came with the universe, whatever created you. Created a something called logic. That's what you follow. Logic means cause and effect. And out of all the things to do, you always pick the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all a code is. Out of all the things to say in every circumstance, figure out, just be patient, figure out the best. You might have to tear up a whole lot of sheets of paper. But figure out the best thing to say, and then say it. Figure out the best thing to do, and then do it. And that's all you need. Otherwise, you're just going to be standing around funeral homes forever. My pastor died. Well, there are other pastors. And what are they following? It's something called a code that they call in Christianity, the Bible. If you're a Muslim, you follow the Quran. It's available to whomever. If you're a Hindu, if you're talking about religion, or if you're a Jew, and you're talking about religion, you have Hindu writings. I don't know what they call their holy books. I understand there are a number of them. If you're a Hindu, the Torah, I understand, is a guide, a code book for a person who says that he or she is a Jew. If you are a Buddhist, you have the writings of Buddha. And if you adopt that religion or not adopt it, you at least know what the writings are. Buddha did some writing. He left some words behind. Confucius, same thing, left some words behind. Neely Fuller left some words behind. John Steinbeck left some words behind. Jesus left some words behind. Martin Luther King left some words behind. And the words. Somebody in the Christian religion a long time ago, I think I heard somebody say, in the beginning, there was the Word. Has anybody in this radio, in this podcast audience ever heard that? In the beginning, there was the Word. Well, that's what people leave. They leave behind words. And the words are supposed to be looked at, evaluated, and if you can use them, use them. If it solves a problem for you. If it doesn't solve a problem for you, get another word book. That's what books are supposed to do, transfer knowledge. Einstein left behind some words in the form of numbers. And I understand people have used that code, that formula, to solve a whole lot of problems. Steve Jobs said, you know what? I did some figuring. Now, I'm not here. I understand Mr. Steve Jobs lived a very short time, relatively speaking. But what he did with that short time, he came up with some mathematical equations dealing with computer science that will be out here. I mean, everybody's out here bragging about it. They don't understand it, but they know when they got that thing in their hand that it does a whole lot for them that they wasn't done for them before they had it. That's so-called, iPads and all like that. I got one for old folks. You know, I don't have to look for a phone booth no more. I came up during a time when you had to look for a wooden phone booth on the corner if you wanted to get in touch with anybody. And half of them wasn't working. A lot of people don't even remember that because they weren't even born. I think they showed one, Michael, when he wanted to find out what happened to his dad, Michael Corleone, in Godfather 1. He saw something headline in a newspaper, say, I don't know if my father's dead or alive. You know, some assassin, you know, gunned him down. And so he started looking around for what? He didn't go into his pocket because cell phones you put in your pocket wasn't invented yet in the 1940s. So he had to look for a phone booth. And he found one. They were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see a phone booth anywhere. Maybe at airports, maybe. You see a few. All right.
Mm.
But they used to have little houses called phone booths. Some people use them for toilets. You know.
Hmm.
When they,
okay.
Well,
that's
I'm,
your learning.
You know, I'm kind of digressing there. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that it, still learning?
Just to follow up to make sure
I
got
it.
Yeah, go ahead, quickly.
Don't get stuck in the emotion of a loss, but use logic to keep moving forward to solve problems. Is that about right, Mr. Fuller?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and black people are going to have to learn that. Stop putting all your faith in, I'm looking for somebody to follow. See, that's how you make slaves out of people. Be your own leader. My goodness, that's what the whole code is about. Don't follow no person. You know, and heaven forbid, follow Neely Fuller. With his Neely Fuller makes all kind of mistakes. Made mistakes in writing the code book. I mean, I got something in the 2016 edition, in the table of contents, that's not even in the book. It was my mistake because I didn't double check behind the person that was supposed to be doing the double checking. But that was my mistake. So when you follow Neely Fuller, you're going to make the same mistakes he made and will make with the little time that I got left. Everybody makes mistakes. The only person that doesn't make a mistake is the person who thinks they don't make a mistake, and that's the biggest mistake.
Yeah.
According to the what? According to the code, that's what. Don't get in the habit of following people.
That's true. Never do that.
Always follow what? Logic.
Logic.
One and one is two. Don't get into nothing that's not logical. Don't get into nothing that doesn't work for you. You start dabbling in something that works against you, regardless of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay.
You know, he's right most of the time. Well, most won't get it.
Well, not. Okay.
You want something that works all the time. Because that one time it didn't work could be your undoing.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, new caller. Yeah, you go back into the chat room. Yeah, because that's where you were. And thank you for your question. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Let's do this. Let's take a break here. You are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and we thank you for listening. In the remaining 30 minutes that we have on the program, if you would like to get online with us or with Mr. Fuller to ask a question, call this number, 516-453-9921. And when you are on or the call screener answers your call, make sure that you give them your name, and then you will get in line where you can ask your question or make your comment when called upon. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com, to ask your questions there. However, I will say that I have received it or got it, but that question will probably not be asked or have Mr. Fuller answer today, but on a show, upcoming show, it will be addressed, and then you can get your answer, and I will inform you of the date and the time that that's happening, Captain. Okay, you can also join the chat room as a couple, a few people have. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this last one, but wow, glad you're on. I'll just put it like that, glad you're on. And yes, constructive action items, I got you, you're still on. Okay, that's good, that's good. Okay, oh yeah, listen, for your information, Mr. Fuller, check this down. Mr. Fuller will be, he's scheduled to be on the Carl Nelson Show this Thursday, September the 8th at 8 a.m. That's Eastern Daylight Savings Time, at 8 a.m. on the Carl Nelson Show. And the lovely folks that help produce producejustice.com have set it up. Well, all you have to do is click in here, baby, and you can get it. Yes, you can get it, and you can hear the entire two-hour program that Mr. Fuller will be on with Carl Nelson. Yeah, I look forward to that. Yeah, more and more and more. Oh, yeah. So make sure that you you give them a call. Wow, somebody got off the screen here because I had them on here. Who was that? Did I mess up? Oh, that's it. Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay, yeah. All righty. With that being said, I think they said, oh, don't forget. Yeah, don't forget. Get that. Get the books by going to producejustice.com. As a matter of fact, in a few moments, I'm going to have Mr. Fuller speak about that. But in the meantime and in between time, we're going to go up to Buffalo. And not the Buffalo, what is that, Bills Mafia? No. We're going to go Ryan. Ryan, get ready. I'm getting ready to cue you in. Let me see. Yes, you're in.
Yes,
Ryan,
sir. Bills Mafia. How you doing, gentlemen? How you doing, everybody?
Yes, sir. Still learning.
Real quick, VGQ, and I'll get right to my question. My VGQ is, I found that compensatory accounting has helped the decision towards logical decisions, if that makes sense. My question is, Mr. Fuller, can you describe the characteristics between individuals who believe, the white individuals who believe in white supremacy and the ones who are just regular individuals?
I didn't quite get the question. Could you?
Could you repeat that a little slower there, Ryan?
Yes. Mr. Fuller, can you describe some sort of characteristics between the ones who believe in white supremacy and the ones who don't?
No. I can't describe. Each individual has to ascertain which white person may be a white supremacist or may not be. Now, according to the code, any white person who is able to be a white supremacist in the system of white supremacy should be suspected of being one. The key word here is able. A white person who at one time said that they were a white supremacist and proved it. I mean, using the N-word and all like that and saying that black people should be persecuted and that they are fit to be slaves and they are born to be slaves, that the Bible told them that they should obey their masters, and they're talking about black people. Now, that's a white supremacist, and he's 50 years old maybe. Now, he gets to be 75 years old, and he has a stroke. I'm giving an example now. And after having that stroke, for example, that same person who spent his entire existence, when he became aware of the differences in color between people, decided to be a white supremacist and said so and bragged about being so, but now, having had a stroke, he no longer can tell the difference between one color and another. Now, according to the code, that white person who, for years, decades, had been a white supremacist is not a white supremacist now. Why? Because in order to be a white supremacist, you have to know the difference between one color and another. That's a requirement. You can't tell the difference. If you can't tell the difference between one color and another, you shouldn't be suspected of being a white supremacist. But if you can tell the difference between one color and another, and you're white in the system of white supremacists, in the system of white supremacy, the system of racism, same thing. If you can tell one color from another, you're able to, you should be suspected of being a white supremacist in the system of white supremacy. That's according to the code. And it's logical to do that. Suspected by whom? By whomever suspects you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I suspect every white person, I'm using myself as an example now, in a codified manner, and I'm saying this to the whole world, I suspect every white person who is able to be a white supremacist of being a white supremacist. That's Neely Fuller, according to the code. Why? Because I don't have a list of people who are white supremacists and a list of people who are not.
Who are not, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. So am I in a system of white supremacy? The answer is yes.
Yes.
So in a system of white supremacy, somebody has to be a white supremacist. So since I don't know who that somebody is, I suspect everybody who is classified as white as being a white supremacist
mm-hmm.
until that person proves that they are not. Proved it to whom? To me, Neely Fuller. Now, a white person cannot prove that they are not a white supremacist and prove it to me by having another black person, that is in the code, vouch for him or her. Take, for example, a white person coming to me, Neely Fuller, and saying, I'm not a racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body. That's the standard cliche saying.
Yes.
I don't know what a racist bone looks like, but, you know, that's another story. But that's sometimes an expression. I'm not a racist. Now, if that white person turns to a committee of black people, said you can ask them, you can ask these black people, am I a racist? And so I asked the black people, or rather, I could ask them, is this person a racist? Because he told me to ask you all. Well, the code says I'm not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because a racist, if they are refined racists, they are master deceivers, which means what? They know how to talk to some black people and get those black people to believe that they are not racist.
Hmm.
Then they get those black people to vouch for them. So that white person has to pass the Neely Fuller test. passing somebody else's test won't get that won't get you nothing.
Won't get you nothing. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
You got to prove it to me. Now you spent a lifetime proving it to all the other black people, a whole committee of black people. They say, oh yes, this white person. I mean, they laid down their life for me when I wasn't willing to lay down my life for myself. Now some black person might say that, but that same white person can say, see how all these other black people trust me? Why don't you trust me? I say, because the code won't allow me to. You got to prove it to me. I can't take their word for it. You
yes,
might
sir.
Be fooling them, you know. You
mm-hmm.
might be a super, super, super deceiver, all right? So I can't take other black people's word that you are not a racist, sir. Out of all due regard.
Yes.
And they'll say, well, why? Because the code won't permit me to do so.
Yes.
See, that's why we need a code.
That's why we need a code.
A code is ironclad.
Okay. Ryan, before I let you go, you used a term when you opened up your question, which was compensatory accountability. I've never heard that term. What is that? Right.
It's a term. Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just use that term as a technique, a logical technique that I use to break down my thoughts, speech, and action, to find the best quality to do in that moment in time and space. Like Mr. Fuller said, to find the best thought, speech, and action at the time. It's just pretty much breaking down the qualities of what you're doing in that moment.
Okay. I don't know. I got thrown off for a minute, but I think I understand now. Okay. Compensatory accounting. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Now, you can go back into the chat room, too. Thank you, sir. All righty. All right. Mr. Fuller, on page 28... Page 28 of the revised expanded edition of the code book, the United Independent Compensatory Codesystem Concept, there was a question or questions that came up in, that has come up in the chat room about, racial showcasing confusion. And for those who don't have the book and aren't familiar with that with the term, could you explain what that is, the racial showcasing confusion?
Well, I'll try to make it concise because
okay. All
it
right.
goes
That's
into
good.
Page 29, too.
Yes, it does.
On into page 30, I think. Let's see.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Wow, yeah.
And 31, I mean, that's
yeah.
all about racial showcasing. But basically, racial showcasing is one of the strategies that the white supremacists use. One of the six basic strategies is called in the table of contents in the 2016 revised expanded edition. Racial showcasing means this applies to the white supremacists taking large numbers of non-white people and putting them out front, like you having a stage play or something like that. I mean, all right, places, please. You know, if you've ever been to a theater where they up on the stage, if people are rehearsing, you might say, the director or whomever's running the show will come out and say, all right, everybody in your places. I mean, the clown's over here, all right. The cook's over here. The queen over here, the king over there. Take your places. Now, the white supremacists worldwide, when they invented a thing called white supremacy, they said, we are going to showcase certain numbers of non-white people.
Mm-hmm.
meaning we're going to put them up front. Now, sometimes in the past, we have put them in the back. You know, as far back as you can get them, and in many cases, completely out of sight. But nowadays, in the refinement of system stage of white supremacy, depending on what the circumstances are, we will pick certain ones to be up front. And when we say places, we'll put the white people in the back and put the black people up front. Now, this is confusion by illusion, you might say. It's to give the impression that black people are running everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here in the year 2022, they're doing a lot of that everywhere. All right, places, all you black people now, you've been shuffling back there behind the curtain and whatnot. Now we want you to come out and be right up front. I mean, you're going to be, you know, the main actors and actresses. And we're going to pay you big money. And you will be at the top of the building out there on the marquee. All the white people would just be, you know, also rans. Their names will be in the small print.
Mm-hmm.
All the black people will be in the big print. And when you go into the theater, all the black people will have all the number one parts in this great showcase opening night that we're going to have. And I'm just making this illustration so that people can get that in their minds. Now, that's, you know, we'll give them fancy titles. Black people used to didn't have titles except just one. That's the N-word.
Yeah.
One title fits all, okay? Now you can be king, queen, governor, president, God. You can be all that. Authorized by the white supremacists, of course. Okay? Now, this is for what? It's to give the illusion to other non-white people that black people don't have no problems. Look at that title. Look at that position. Look at all that money.
Yeah.
Not $1,000, not $10,000, not $10 million, $200 or $300 million. And he's blacker than me. Well, a lot of white folks ain't got no $200 or $300 million. See, now that's racial showcasing on steroids. But the white supremacists are in the process of doing that all over the world.
All over the world, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
On pages 28, 29, 30, 31, I go into kind of details on it explaining how that works. But they're going to be doing a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a lot of it right now, but they're going to be doing more of it. Black people are going to be drowning in titles. And see, we've been starved so long for not having titles except just the N-word.
Yeah.
One size fits all.
Yeah.
It's just another one of those ends, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now we got prince, princesses. And eventually, well, in some places all over the world now, we got what? I don't know how many black kings we got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I can look that up in some encyclopedia. How many people got kings and queens who are black all over the world? But what? They got those titles, but the one thing they don't have, real power.
Real power. That's it.
As compared to what? As compared to the white supremacists. That's
mm-hmm.
what.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't
okay.
got no voice at all. No say-so about nothing.
No.
But when it comes to showcasing, being showcased, and people have asked me about it, well, Fuller, suppose a black person is chosen to be showcased. I say, just notice they're being showcased, but don't criticize them.
Mm-hmm.
because you don't determine that anyway. You always, right, according to the code, call people by the names and titles that they want to be called.
That they want to be
so
called,
so they
yes,
tell
sir.
You that I'm the king of the world. Some black person says that. I'm king of the world. I've just been authorized by the authorizing committee. I'm king of the world now. I mean, you know, nobody disagrees with me. Well, what do you do according to the code? You say, well, Henry Jackson is king of the world. Why? Because the code requires me to call him what he wants to be called. But see, you will understand that in the system of white supremacy, he ain't king of nothing.
Okay, king of nothing. Exactly.
Yeah.
All righty.
Showcase.
Okay. Justice Warrior.
You have to be authorized by the white supremacists. That tells
authorized.
You something right there.
Mm-hmm.
Governor,
whatever. Okay. From the chat room, Justice Warrior had this to say, which is true. Basically, not that you needed confirmation, but this is what the Justice Warrior had to say. The illusion of confusion. The illusion of inclusion. It's all about the, and nobody sells optics better than the white supremacist. Whoa, optics. Whew. What you see is what you get. Hey, listen, for those of you who are online, I don't know who you are because you didn't get a call screen of your name, and we is winding down. I mean, we really are. We only got about 8 minutes. So let me try this. Okay. I don't know your name, but your hand was up. Did you have a question for Mr. Fuller? Okay. Yeah, but I don't have your name, but go ahead quickly.
Mr. Bobby, this is Ray. I never got my second question in.
Oh, go ahead, Ray.
Yes, sir. Mr. Fuller, is it illogical to suspect that the white supremacists will compensate for the compensation of victims through the use of language?
Well, they will compensate through the use of language for what?
Yes. Is it illogical to suspect that the white supremacists will compensate for the compensation of victims of white supremacy through their use of language?
Yes. Yes. I strongly suspect that a lot of white supremacists now, particularly on the West Coast, are studying Neely Fuller's textbook, code book, particularly the word guide. That's something I strongly suspect is going on right now, because they're probably getting ready to put me in that CRT category, which means they'll be dealing with words. They're going to start challenging the words that I use and the definitions I give. But I'm sticking with everything I got and adding more.
Mm-hmm.
If they bring up new words and all like that, I'm going to give them compensatory definitions that reveal truth. See, I just don't come up with definitions just to be doing something. It ain't about being cute. Nothing about codification is about being cute or trying to win an argument.
Yes, sir.
It's about first of all, latching on to the truth and don't turn loose under any circumstance, even when the truth hurts. Latch on to the truth. That's mandatory according to the code.
Okay.
And then use that truth in order to produce justice and correctness.
And correctness.
Do that without fail. This is the core of codification.
All right.
So regardless of what the races do, they'll counteract your moves. You can look forward to that if you're making moves that they disagree with. But then you counteract their counteraction. See, compensatory moves just keep going. It's an unending checkerboard until you run out of checkers and board.
Okay. All righty. Robert, can you let me know if the last person, which I'm not going to call as a name, is the last caller of the day? In the meantime, in between time, thank you, Ray. I'll keep you on. RT, in Missouri. Misery, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Fuller. This is for the. This is just the VGQ for people who say that the system of white supremacy don't exist. Here's the question that they need to ask themselves. Who owns and controls all the food in your house? Who owns and who do you pay your utility bills to? Who owns all the oil and gas that you use in your home and your vehicles? Because whoever owns all these things that you use, all the food and stuff that you eat, is who you directly or indirectly work for. And those are the people who are superior over you. Would you agree with that?
Sure. You always solve all problems through the process of what? And I repeat this all the time. Questions and answers. All you've got to do is just what you just did, just keep asking. You can even ask the person, who owns you? You can ask that person that, too.
Yes.
Do you have an owner? And see if the person will say yes or no.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you,
and
RT. And
don't argue about the answers that you get. Just keep asking questions. Because the process of questions and answers saves, according to the code, will always take everybody right where they should be.
Right,
it won't take everybody where they want to be. But the process of questions and answers will take everybody right where they should be. All you got to do is just have that next question ready.
Okay.
As soon as they answer this question, move to the next question. It'll
got
take
it.
Everybody right where they should be. ProduceJustice.com.
Last caller of the day. I think this is Darnell. Quickly, you're on.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Morning.
My question for Mr. Fuller is, according to the code, why is it codified to consider every day a holiday?
As being what?
A holiday. I guess a holy day.
Holiday?
Yes.
All days are holidays. All days are whole days, holy days, according to the code. I mean, the traditional thing of picking out days on some paper called a calendar or something, compensatory logic doesn't take you there. Logic says every day is a holy day. Every day is a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
One day doesn't take precedent over another day. It's not logical. Every day, it's a holy day. All land is holy. Some people say, well, there's holy land. This is our holy burial grounds. People are buried up under everywhere that you step, as long as the billions of people have been on this planet. Everywhere that you step is somebody's burial ground. See, we got to start thinking logically.
Logically,
something
okay.
that the white supremacists do not ever want us to do.
Mm-hmm. All righty, got to wrap it up.
ProduceJustice.com.
All right, got to wrap it up. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, callers. Don't forget,
thanks,
Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller will be on the Carl Nelson Show Thursday at 8 a.m. You can get it at ProduceJustice.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. All the books, ProduceJustice.com. We hope to see you next week. Codified, be everybody. Talk to you next week. Thank you.